to the book of 1 John. Book of 1 John, we'd like to read verse 6 of chapter 2, verse 3 of chapter 4. 1 John 2, verse 6, 1 John 4, verse 3. He that saith, he abideth in him that is in Christ, ought, which implies duty and responsibility, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. 1 John 4, verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. We see in 1 John 2 and verse 6, the kind of life that you and I are responsible to live as God's people. You see the pattern of our life. In 1 John 4, verse 3, we see the character of the world in which we are to live this life, which teaches us that we are to live this life in unfavorable conditions. We're not to be looking for everything to line up just right in order for us to live like we ought. So we see here in 1 John 4 and verse 3 that we notice the phrase, the spirit of Antichrist. Now, the word spirit has reference to an attitude, the attitude of Antichrist is already in the world. It was when John wrote, and it certainly is today. It has reference to the intention. The real meaning or the real intention behind something. The word Antichrist has reference, of course, to that which is opposed to and set against Jesus Christ. That which is the opposite of Jesus Christ. That which stands as a rival to Jesus Christ. That which is unlike Jesus Christ. That which seeks to reverse or undo what Christ does. So the very word Antichrist implies enmity against Christ. And we're told here that the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. Now, Christ is light. The spirit of Antichrist, of course, is darkness. Christ is righteousness. Christ is purity. Christ is holiness. The spirit of Antichrist, of course, is that which is unclean, that which is unholy, that which is impure, that which is filthy. Christ is a truth. Antichrist would be a lie. Christ is the way to God. Antichrist is a departure from God. So the word Antichrist is also defined here in verse 3. Notice about halfway down in the verse, we see the phrase, is not of God.
is not of God. That pretty much describes the spirit of Antichrist. So we're told here in 1 John 4, verse 3, that the spirit of Antichrist, even now, right now, already is it in the world. That is the attitude, the intention of the world is Antichrist. This is another reason that we are not to love the world. The spirit of the world is directly opposed to Jesus Christ. This is the world in which you and I live. This is the world in which you and I are called upon to serve God. You think about everything the world stands for today. Almost everything the world stands for today, if you look at it, you can see behind it all is the spirit of Antichrist. I mean, the whole issue of separation and church of church and state, the spirit of Antichrist is behind all of this. What is behind so-called political correctness? Same thing. Spirit of Antichrist, that which is opposed to Jesus Christ. You look behind Marxism, you look behind communism, you look behind socialism, you look behind the New World Order of today, and it's very plain to see that the spirit of Antichrist is behind it all. What is behind much of the fashion of the day is the spirit of Antichrist. Certainly, what is behind most of the entertainment industry today is the spirit of Antichrist. I believe what is behind the new translations of God's Word today is the spirit of Antichrist. Everywhere you turn is the spirit of Antichrist. That which is simply opposed to Jesus Christ. So, the spirit of Antichrist, which is so prevalent in the world, is a spirit of ignorance of Christ. People have never been more ignorant of Jesus Christ than they are today. It is a spirit of rejection of Jesus Christ. It is a spirit of indifference toward Jesus Christ, and never has there been more indifference toward Christ than there is today. The spirit of Antichrist finds Jesus Christ to be an annoyance. We live in a society that finds Jesus Christ to be quite annoying, finds Jesus Christ to be quite a bother, finds Jesus Christ to be an inconvenience, an irritation. People are irritated by Jesus Christ. People are irritated by the teachings of Jesus Christ. The world today finds Jesus Christ to be a real problem. The world doesn't really know what to do with him. Jesus Christ and everything that Jesus Christ teaches is a problem to the world today, and certainly is a problem to most politicians today. He's a pest. To most of the world today, they consider Jesus Christ a pest, again, just a big aggravation. And the world today is under the spirit of Antichrist, finding Jesus Christ to be intolerable. They're intolerant of Christ. The world tolerates a lot of things today. The world is more tolerant perhaps than it's ever been, but less tolerant of Christ every day. The world finds Jesus Christ to be very intolerant. The religious world finds Christ to be intolerant. This is not just limited to the secular world. They find the laws of Christ, the ways of Christ, almost to be unbearable.
I mean, there are those who claim to be saved who find the teachings of Christ to be just about unbearable. I mean, they can't hardly stand it. This is the spirit of Antichrist. They find the ways of Christ to be very, very unappealing. And they hold great resentment toward Jesus Christ, toward the laws of Jesus Christ. You just try to do what's right. You just try to do what's right, and I guarantee you there will be people who resent you just because you try to do what's right. There will be those who claim to be saved. There may be some in the very same church who will resent you for simply doing what is right. Because again, the spirit of Antichrist is very, very prevalent. The spirit of Antichrist feels insulted by Christ. It's amazing how many people you can insult in a church when you preach Jesus Christ, when you preach the ways of Jesus Christ. People find Jesus Christ to be insulting. People feel that they have been wronged somehow by Jesus Christ. This world is under the control of the spirit of Antichrist, and the world, therefore, is simply outraged by Christ. They're outraged by the truth of God's word. You look at the humanistic thinking that prevails in our society. You look at the evolutional thinking, the atheistical thinking, the individualism, immorality, and just on and on and on and on we could go. The spirit of Antichrist is behind it all. It is a spirit that is very, very prevalent. But it is in a world where the spirit of Antichrist prevails that you and I live. We can't live anywhere else until the Lord takes us out of here. This is it. This is where we live. This is where we must carry on. This is where we must do what He teaches us to do. It's in this world, the spirit of Antichrist. And living in a world where the spirit of Antichrist is so prevalent, you're not going to be cheered on by the world. You're not going to be encouraged by the world. You're not going to be encouraged by many of your loved ones that are lost. They're not going to encourage you to serve God. In fact, in this world, we find very, very little encouragement in serving the Lord. Because so many, even God's people, are caught up in the spirit of Antichrist. But we see here in 1 John 2 and verse 6, how we are to live. We are to walk even as He walked. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what the conditions are. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter how bad things get. We are to walk even as He walked. So I want to consider just a few thoughts about the walk of Jesus Christ. One of the first things we want to think of is everything that Jesus did. Everywhere Jesus went. Everything Jesus spoke. He showed forth God. He manifested God. Everywhere He went. Jesus Christ is the personification of God. In Jesus Christ, as you read the Gospels, you see what God would do in various circumstances. For 33 years,
Jesus Christ lived on earth as the manifest copy of God. He, of course, was God. He had a childhood. The Bible doesn't tell us much about it, but he had a childhood. He grew. He lived in a house. He had a family. He could become weary. He could become hungry. He experienced thirst. He wept. He experienced pain. But in everything, he manifested God. That is our responsibility. Our responsibility is to manifest God for 33 years. Everywhere he went, whatever he did, he manifested God. Whatever was going on around him at the time, he manifested God. That is, man could see what God was like in Jesus Christ, in all places, under all circumstances, in whatever situation that he found himself in, whatever the conditions were, he simply manifested God. When he was among his disciples, he manifested the Lord. When he went into the synagogue, he manifested God. When he walked through the streets on a daily basis, he manifested God. When he was amongst the very enemies of God, he manifested God. Morning, noon, and night, he was the manifestation, the manifest copy of the Lord. And we are to walk even as he walked. And we're to do so in a world that is filled with the opposition of the spirit of Antichrist. There is opposition. There are plenty of obstacles. But in spite of all the opposition, in spite of all the obstacles, you and I are simply to manifest God in our lives. Wherever our workplace might be, God has placed you there to be a manifestation of God. Wherever you go to school, God has placed you there to be a manifestation of God. Whatever neighborhood God has placed you in, it is to be a manifestation of God. Whatever circumstances God has placed you in, whatever the situation might be, you and I are here to be a manifestation of God. And we live in a world that is filled with the spirit of Antichrist that stands opposed to us every step of the way. And therefore, again, since it is so dark, it should not be that difficult for the world to see the difference. I mean, God's people don't have to get drastic anymore to be different. You just do one or two things right and you're different. But people today, it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell the difference between someone who makes no profession of Jesus Christ whatsoever and the person who does. There's not much difference. We are to be a manifestation of God. Secondly, Jesus Christ served God. Never once did he stop serving God. In the midst of all the opposition, in the midst of all the obstacles, he served God. And he did so without fanfare. And yet today we live in a world where God's people need all this encouragement, need all this fanfare to do what's right. Just do what's right. We should not need the fanfare. And in a world under the direction and sway of the spirit of Antichrist, in a world that is opposed to Christ, in a world that is against Christ, in a world that rivals Jesus Christ, in a world that is at enmity with Christ, in a world that is unlike Christ, do not expect to find much encouragement from the world. But you manifest God, and you serve God. And again, you can't use as an excuse, well, I didn't get encouragement. I'm sorry, that doesn't fly. That doesn't work. Serve the Lord. Walk even as Christ walked. In spite of all the opposition, in spite of all the resentment, in spite of all the outrage. And again, if you're determined today to do what's right, you're determined to serve the Lord, it's going to outrage some folks. It's going to upset some people. Because the spirit of Antichrist is prevalent in the world. Thirdly, Christ was obedient, always obedient, to the Father's will. He cheerfully and voluntarily did the will of God. Again, he always did so cheerfully. And in a world under the direction of the spirit of Antichrist, in a world where the enmity of God is prevalent, in a world where rebellion against God is prevalent, in a world that finds Christ to be unbearable, in a world that finds Christ to be very distasteful, in a world that finds Jesus Christ to be very unappealing, you can expect to encounter some opposition. You can expect to encounter some resistance. You can expect to encounter some hostility. You can expect to encounter some obstruction. But we are to cheerfully obey what God says. We are to cheerfully obey what God says. In spite of all the grief that we might experience from the world, that we might experience from loved ones, that we might experience from those who profess to believe the same things we believe. But our responsibility is to be obedient to the Father's will. Philippians 2 and verse 8, we see that Jesus Christ was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In things most difficult, we are to be obedient. In the most difficult of things, you see, level of difficulty does not determine whether or not you should obey God. In the most difficult of things, you and I have a responsibility to obey the Lord. No matter how difficult the task, no matter what the cost might be. We see that Jesus Christ was obedient without any buy-in at all. He simply aimed at the glory of God. That was always his desire, to glorify God. And we should obey God simply because it pleases Him. That's the only reason you need. It pleases God. And because it pleases God, I want to do it. And because it pleases God, I should be happy to do it. And I should voluntarily do it. Because it pleases God. That should be our desire. In a world that is filled with the Spirit of Antichrist, where everything is about self, everything is about what's in it for me, everything's about how I feel and how it made me feel, we are to obey. We are simply to obey the Father's commands without any self ends whatsoever, but simply for the glory of God. In a world that finds God to be a nuisance, we are to obey Him simply because we want to bring glory to His name. Christ's obedience to the Father was passionate. His obedience to the Father was fervent. It was zealous. It was wholehearted. It was with great enthusiasm. And most of all, it was out of love to the Father. You see, there's our biggest problem. Love will serve. Love to God will serve. Love to God will glorify Him. We'll desire to please Him. If we struggle with these things, what we really need to be looking at, and what we really need to be examining, is our love for the Lord. In a world under the direction and sway of the spirit of Antichrist, therefore the world is filled with selfishness and animosity and resentment and outrage toward the things of Christ and the laws of God. We are to obey the Lord simply because we love Him. Christ also was diligent. Christ was diligent. We all get tired. We all get tired. I mean, I'll be honest with you. The last 4 or 5 months, I've been worn out. Physically, mentally, just worn out. We all get tired. But we're not to stop. We're not to stop. We're not to lose our zeal for serving the Lord. We are to be diligent. And Christ, His heart was intently set upon God. And in John 9, in verse 4, He says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. That is, while I have time, while I have opportunity. I must. And that needs to be our attitude. The spirit of Antichrist is everywhere. And the spirit of Antichrist will drain the life out of you if you allow it to happen. But we must have the attitude, I must work the works of Him that sent me. I have a limited amount of time to do that while it is day. I must work. So many today are interested in saving themselves for some future date. Work today. Work today. Serve Him today. And in a world filled with opposition, in a world filled with obstacles, Jesus Christ was fully aware of why He was here. He was fully aware of the mission that God had given Him to do. And we need to be fully aware of why we're here. We're here to be a manifestation of God. We're here to show forth God. We're here to obey God. We're here to serve God. We may not know exactly where God wants us to be or exactly what God wants us to do, but you know that God wants you to show forth Him. So do that. You know that God wants you to obey Him and glorify Him. So do that and be diligent. God's people are becoming less and less and less diligent all the time in the service of the Lord. But Jesus Christ, I don't believe that He ever trifled away a single moment. I don't believe He ever trifled away a single opportunity. He was diligent. And we are to walk even as He walked. He was persevering. He was persistent.
He was zealous. He was dedicated. He was committed. He was set apart.
He just diligent. He just kept on in the work of God. He could not be deterred.
In a world, in an Antichrist world, Jesus Christ could not be deterred.
And as we've said many times before, it doesn't take much today to deter most. Doesn't take much at all. We need some diligence about us. We need some diligence in serving the Lord. In a world that is very diligent in trying to reverse and trying to undo the work of Christ, we need to be diligent. In a world where we are surrounded and bombarded every day with the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, we're bombarded with it every day. And if we're not careful, it sinks into us and it becomes a part of us. And we become part of the problem rather than part of the solution. So we are constantly brought face to face with obstacles, constantly facing fortifications. But we're not to be deterred. We're to walk even as He walked. And He's our example. He's our example in allegiance. He's our example in commitment. He's our example in loyalty to God Himself. We're to be a people of persistence. We're to be a people of purpose in an Antichrist world. Lastly, Jesus Christ, of course, was pure and holy in life. There's not much taught today about purity. Purity. Keeping our minds pure. Keeping our thoughts pure. Not watching and not listening to things that feed impurity. Jesus Christ is our example of holiness. He's our example of purity. We live in the very midst of wickedness. And there's a part of us, our sinful nature, that likes it. So we're in danger. We live in the midst of wickedness. We live in the midst of ungodliness. Vileness is everywhere. That which is an abomination to God is everywhere. And it's amazing today how many things God calls an abomination and God's people are inviting them into their lives. But they're an abomination. And anything that's an abomination to God, I don't care what it is. We ought not want any part of it whatsoever. Because it's an abomination to God. Jesus Christ lived a holy and pure life in the very midst of an Antichrist world. In the very midst of a wicked world. He was holy. And we live in a world today, the spirit of Antichrist resents holiness. Resents it. Resents righteousness. We're not only going to find encouragement to live holy and righteous life, the world resents it. The world finds it offensive. The world would rather see people parade around naked than clothed. The world finds it offensive. for people to dress modestly, for people to dress in a way that is pure. The world finds that offensive. And something is wrong with you if you find that offensive. If that offends you, if purity and holiness offends you, you've got a problem. I mean, you have got serious issues if these things offend you. We're to live holy lives in the midst of a hell-bent world. We are to walk even as Jesus walked. Now, if we are to walk as he walked, then it makes sense to me that we need to know how he walked. It makes sense to me that we need to study him. We need to study who he is. We need to know his person. Because he is our pattern. He's our pattern. He's our format. He's our benchmark. He's our prototype. He's what we're to be copying. Jesus Christ. So you see, it really doesn't matter. Well, it matters, but you can't just say, well, everybody else is doing it. That's not your benchmark. That's not your pattern. What everybody else is doing is never your pattern. It's what pleases God. What would Christ do? So all that we would face the spirit of Antichrist. And we face it every single day. Every single day we face the very spirit of Antichrist. And the way to face the spirit of Antichrist is with the very life of Christ. This is how we rise above the world. This is how we live above the world. This is how we live above the direction and sway of the spirit of Antichrist. We imitate Jesus Christ. That is the life that you and I are to live. There are many, many, many footprints in the world. Many footprints that you and I can follow. That you and I can follow at any time. Footprints that will take you down a wayward path. Footprints that will take you away from God. Will take you away from the things of God. But there's one sure set of footprints that will always lead in the right direction. And it will always lead you closer to God. Will always lead you to that which is right in glorifying the God. And those are the footprints of Jesus Christ. So whatever our circumstances, whatever our situation may be, wherever we may be, we are to look for the footprints of Christ. What would Christ do? How can I manifest God? And we need to get a hold of this, that wherever we are in this world, whatever our position is, we have a responsibility to manifest God. It's no accident who my next door neighbor is. It's no accident who your next door neighbor is. It's no accident who you work with. It's no accident who you go to school with. It's no accident. These are not accidents. These are opportunities. These are opportunities for you and I to manifest God, to manifest the very spirit of Jesus Christ. These are opportunities. What are we doing? The opportunity. Your next door neighbor might be wicked. He may be very unrighteous, filthy individual. But so are you before the Lord saved your soul. You're to manifest God to that individual. That individual may be very difficult to get along with. You may have a very difficult time even liking the individual. But you're to manifest God. You're to be a manifestation of God. to that individual. Again, I think over and over, we've preached it many times, the little maid that was placed in Naaman's house. And she's the one that told Naaman, "I know a man. I know a man that can cure you, Naaman." That's what she was there for. She was a captive. She was a slave. She would have rather been anywhere else. It wasn't a favorable condition. She was living in the house of an enemy. But yet she was able to manifest God to Naaman. So God help us. We live in a world that is overflowing with the spirit of Antichrist. We need to show forth the spirit of Jesus Christ. Will the world appreciate it? No. But that doesn't matter. That's simply our responsibility. It's our duty to show forth the spirit of Christ. So God help us to walk in the ways of Christ in an antichrist world. Brother Larry, if you